Here we go, our good news and success every month, putting the spotlight on those in the community doing great things and needing to toot their horn. So here we are with you, Rhoda Kruiser, President, Partners in Action, Inc., along with a special guest. Hi, Rhoda.
Hi there, Shelley. It's great to see you again.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, it's like almost the last week of January, but it's the first time we've connected.
I know. And isn't it exciting? We've got a whole new year to talk about good news and success and wonderful things happening right here in our backyard.
Yes. Well, and that would be the one facing both of us. I was going to ask you, because I kind of depend upon you to find me those good news persons. What's your, how do you qualify to be on deck here? What do you look for?
Yeah, great question. I look for people who have that positive attitude, who are having an impact on our community, who are succeeding in many ways. Sometimes that is numerical success or growth within their organization. Sometimes it's people who are tackling a really tough issue in our community, but they're taking that challenge head on and they're making progress at making that happen. So there's lots of different ways in which people are succeeding and helping our community succeed as well.
So that means CEO of West Michigan Partnership for Children, Kristen Peck, has made that cut.
Absolutely. And we are so excited to have Kristen here today to talk with us and to share about a very new organization that has formed just in the last year. So welcome, Kristen.
Thank you, Rhoda and Shelley. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here, too.
Yeah. So, Kristen, in addition to having an organization that's fairly new, you're newer to West Michigan. You're not from here. Maybe take a moment and just tell us some highlights about yourself.
Sure. This is my first winter in West Michigan. I moved here from Washington, D.C. At the end of April of last year, and I was formerly overseeing national programs for refugee and immigrant children, so family reunification and foster care programs for children who are unaccompanied. And I did that through more than 200 partner agencies that were throughout the United States.
Wow, that is a big job. So welcome, though, to West Michigan, and hopefully this winter hasn't been too discouraging for you yet.
I'm enjoying it so far.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. So, Kristen, tell us, if you would, maybe just share a little bit about what West Michigan Partnership for Children is all about.
Sure. We are a new organization in Kent County. We are piloting an innovative foster care model, and we're doing that through a contract with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. And it's the first of its kind in the state, so we're really lucky here in Kent County to have this program in our backyard. And, you know, what we all vision is that our community is one where children and families are safe and thriving. And WMPC is the result of a group of people, the Kent County government, private foster care agencies, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and other statewide public and private child welfare leaders that were really uniting around this idea for a better future for families and children, and they made it happen.
Wow. Isn't it exciting when we come together and we can share that vision? What can happen? You know, when we join hands, we unite around that. And to see this being birthed is really exciting.
It is really exciting. You know, I've learned a lot in my short time here, living in Kent County, that this is a community that has strong shared values around children and families. And our partners were simply not satisfied with the status quo. And they spent years researching best practices from throughout the United States on serving children and families. They identified some core components that lead to better outcomes. They met with different agencies from throughout the U.S., and they rolled all those best practices into the model which West Michigan Partnership for Children is now leading.
Wow. How exciting to be at the forefront of that. Can you give us some insight into maybe what were some of the challenges that they felt they needed to address as they were trying to serve children and families?
Sure. Children in foster care in Kent County spend time in foster care an average about 2.5 years. And that's just way too long. The goal of foster care really is for families to provide a safe and nurturing home on a temporary basis while we look to find children more permanent homes. And ideally, that's return home with their own parents. And our partners were finding that that process was taking a long time, and that despite their best efforts in returning children home, that the length of time children were spending in foster care was too great. And so what we're aiming to do is reduce that time that children spend in foster care, really work with families to address situations that led to removal, return more children home, and if that's not possible, do a better job of looking at relatives and seeing if children can be placed with their relatives. And if that's not possible either, then moving them into adoptive homes more quickly.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you found maybe that are key to making that happen? You know, what are the changes that are needed to really help us move that more quickly?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, unlike other counties where foster care administration is a government role, in Kent County, foster care is now privately administered by WMPC. And as a private nonprofit organization, we have more flexibility to be creative in use of funding to innovate the way services are provided. So some of the things we're doing differently, we are evaluating our partners based on their ability to achieve positive outcomes through performance-based contracts. We are utilizing cutting-edge technology to track and monitor service and performance outcomes. So we have a software that will produce predictive analytics and let us see better in real time how our children and families are doing. And rather than be paid the same amount every day a child's in foster care no matter what, our funding is front-loaded the first year a child enters the foster care system. And that allows us more funding at the beginning to really work to address the issues that the child may be experiencing, that the family may be experiencing, including finding children a permanent home more quickly. And it incentivizes permanency.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot that you're taking on, and I can only imagine for both the families and for the children how traumatic this whole transition, this whole process must be. And so to have an organization like yours that's really guiding that and having an impact on those successful outcomes has got to be just such an encouragement to your partners and to these families that you're servicing.
Yeah, we really believe that our partner's success is our success and is the child's success and the family's success. So we are approaching our partnership with them in that light. And so we're engaging with our partners, which are Bethany Christian Services, Catholic Charities West Michigan, D.A. Blodgett St. John's, Samaritas, and Wellspring Lutheran Services on a regular basis. We are meeting with them regularly to talk about the outcomes that they're seeing, to help strategize solutions, to help them brainstorm obstacles that they may be experiencing, and really helping to identify barriers and do what we can to eliminate those barriers so they can do the great job they do at serving for families and children.
That's incredible. And I'm sure that as you're working with these different partners, it's giving you an opportunity then to bring best practices to each of them as you hear about, oh, they're doing this over here and this has helped them. And now I can share that with this organization who is working with a similar population. And so you get that joint success across the board, right?
Exactly. Recently, actually, since we launched October 1st, and right away we were looking at one of the challenges to placing children in foster care is there just simply weren't enough options for children that may have some moderate or higher level needs. And so we did some research on what works well and how can we build out what we're calling a continuum of care so that we have a community-based family-like placement option for all children who are referred to us. And so we looked at some different models from throughout the United States, and what we ended up developing is called enhanced foster care. And what that does is it allows three new foster care service levels to help foster parents by providing them with additional clinical support, so that they can really learn new skills and strategies for addressing some of the higher level needs of our youth stemming from the trauma they've experienced.
Awesome. Call this our Good News and Success segment. Thanks to Rhoda Kruiser, President, Partners in Action. Special guest today, Kristen Peck, CEO, West Michigan Partnership for Children. Rhoda.
Yeah. So, Kristen, I know you have a team of people working with you. Tell us a little bit about, if you would, maybe how you went about selecting that team. How did you put that together? Because I'm sure for a new program like this, that has to be challenging and so critical to pick the right people to be part of that team.
Yeah. So I started, as I mentioned, at the beginning or at the end of April. And my task was to hire 14 people by October 1st so we could launch this new initiative. And so I was really looking for people who were mission driven, who could clearly communicate the why they were interested in this work. And that was really what was most important to me. I was also looking for people with the skill sets we needed, for sure. We have a team of care coordinators, and that team has a direct experience working on case management with children and families in child welfare, and so that was important. We have a team that provides performance and quality improvement, so it was important to find a group of people who had expertise in evaluation and being able to understand data and use that data to tell a story and talk about data in a way that social workers understand. And then we also needed a finance team, and so we needed folks that had expertise in finance. And I really have the best possible team. I think the team we have are the right people in the right positions. And what they all have in common, despite their various expertise, is that they are all very committed to our vision and mission. And they all had very compelling stories of why they were attracted to working with us.
That's great. It makes such a difference when it comes from their heart, so to speak, and they have that passion for it as opposed to it's just a job and, you know, I can do the particular task, but, you know, it doesn't bring that extra energy and insight that comes when it's the passion, right?
I couldn't agree more, and in particular in child welfare, it can be a challenging field to work in. Some of the stories that we hear are really upsetting, and sometimes the barriers that our children and families face, can seem insurmountable. And so we really need to have a group of people who have their eye on the ball, have their eye on the vision, and who can persevere through those challenges.
I imagine that as you're working with these partners, you're also bringing that same perspective, that same vision to your partners who also are dealing with some of these really difficult situations that are very complex, not easy to resolve. But would you say that that's also a part of the work that you do is kind of encouraging them and helping them to also feel like we can do this, we can make a difference?
I so hope we are. Yeah. That is certainly our intent and our goal. And they are the ones who are day in, day out working with mm-hmm. our families and children and seeing some of the obstacles they face firsthand. Mm-hmm. And so we are all in this together and, right. Want to be their support and their cheerleader.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what it's been like to step into this leadership role. You have a new team, you have a new organization, you have really a new paradigm of how the service is being provided. So lots of new dimensions around that. So has that been like for you as a leader to step into that role?
It has been the best leadership training I've ever had. The first 6 months, it was, sink or swim.
You swam, baby.
Yeah.
And so it was, I would say before we launched, it was really exciting to be able to develop a team and to develop, to help make decisions about our organizational culture and what that was going to look like. And I really enjoyed it. It's also been very challenging, and there are times, you know, like, ooh, are we going to be ready for launch? But it's somehow, you know, it somehow all came together. And, you know, not to say that there isn't a whole lot for us to do. There is. and our to-do list is ever growing. And but I think that, you know, I personally am motivated by that challenge and really called to this mission. And so, you know, it's been a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Awesome. We're ready, about 3 minutes left, 3 to 5 minutes, Rhoda.
Okay. So through that experience, and I do believe that life is the best teacher many times, you know, we learn so much, you grow so much through those experiences as you're working your way through them. Have there been one or two lessons that have come out of this experience that you've said, boy, I'm so glad I learned this, or that if you were talking to another leader who might be approaching a new situation, that you might say to them, here's something for you to keep in mind, or something that would be helpful to them as they're stepping into a new role?
I think listening and communication, as cliche as that might sound, are the two big lessons that I've learned before, but have continued to continue to learn. And I think, you know, in particular, with this particular initiative, there are so many different stakeholders who are a part of the child welfare system. And making sure that we're doing a good job of hearing from them, listening to the feedback they have, listening to the experience they've had that lends to the recommendations they have for us on what needs to be changed. You know, trying to do a better job of listening to the communities which we're impacting. I've been slowly making the rounds at neighborhood associations, so that in addition to the professional stakeholders, I'm listening to the feedback from our community. And I think, you know, you can't do that enough. And you can't do that. You have to do that as frequently as you can. And what you may think you know what the feedback is, but just continuing to make sure that you have your thumb on the pulse of what our stakeholders and our community wants to see. And I think it truly does take a village to raise a child, and that's our approach at WMPC. And so we know we can't do this alone. And I guess that would be the other lesson, listening, communicating, and knowing that you can't do it alone. And so knowing when to ask for help and how to do that and who to ask.
That's great insight, and I agree with you. Sometimes we feel like something is so simple that we overlook it, and it's going back to those basics about communication, about listening, about being engaged with people that makes such a difference in our leadership journey, and we can't ever lose sight of that if we're going to be successful.
Yeah. Right. All right. Final contact information from you. How do we track you down and continue this conversation?
So you can visit our website at wmpc.care. You can shoot us an email at info@wmpc.care. You can also call us at 616-419-2505.
Great. And you're falling in love with West Michigan, aren't you?
I sure am.
It's easy to do. Kristen Peck, thank you very much. CEO, West Michigan Partnership for Children. Rhoda, your final comments.
I want to maybe just conclude today by giving a challenge to people to enter every day, enter every encounter with the idea that you can invest in that encounter. Invest in your day. Don't just passively go through the day, but really think about what do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to have an impact on? Be willing to extend yourself to say thank you to people who are servicing you. Thank you, Shelley, for allowing us this platform.
I just turned on the microphone. I did not do a thing.
Well, you had the vision to allow this to happen. And
thank you.
And I think as all of us are more engaged, we're connected, we're making that difference in our lives, in the people around us, that's going to create a whole movement that is so positive for our community, for our state, and our country. So just want to encourage people with that. And one of the ways that you can do that is being a guest on Good News and Success. And you can reach us at 457-3453, or you can also go to our website, which is piabusinessconsulting.com.
Thank you, ladies. Take care. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You both.